Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm so glad you could join us, and I hope that this program will be beneficial to you, either in the salvation of your soul or in the edification of your heart, your mind, affections, and your will. Last week, I preached a message called The Liberty of God's Grace from John chapter 8. It's where Christ said, "The truth shall make you free." And today I want to continue that, the liberty of God's grace, from Romans chapter 6. And I want to talk to you about the reality of what Christian liberty is and what it's about. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you some biblical terms. You know, a lot of times theological, doctrinal, biblical terms, people almost try to avoid them. But we're going to talk about the liberty of God's grace. We're going to talk about, first of all, the liberty of justification. The liberty of justification. And then secondly, the liberty of sanctification. Sanctification. And we're going to see that. Now, to be justified, and of course, justified, the word, oftentimes you'll see the word just. This person is a just man. You'll see the term justify or justifies. God justifies the ungodly. Someone who's justified, justification. Justify is a legal term. It's like being before a judge, having been accused of a crime, and you're either going to be pronounced guilty or not guilty, given the evidence. And if you're pronounced not guilty, you're justified. If you're pronounced guilty, then you're condemned. Now, of course, we know God is the supreme judge of all, and He's committed all judgment unto the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the issue of the liberty of God's grace in justification is being justified before God. It's not necessarily being justified before men. Okay? It's being justified before God. It's like standing at the final judgment and hearing the declaration of the supreme judge. Okay? And that's what this justification is all about. Now, sanctification is another matter. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, it says this. And this is the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if you have a concordance in your Bible, that word freed, if you look at your concordance, it more than likely, the word justified is put there. Because that's what the word is. A lot of times you see the word just, justified, justification. It can be translated righteous, righteousness. And that's what righteousness is. Perfect satisfaction to God's law and justice. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Well, first of all, what kind of death is he talking about? He can't be talking about physical death here. Why not? Well, there's multitudes will die physically in a condemned state. They're not justified. Physical death does not justify us before God. Physical death does not satisfy the law and justice of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die. Then after that, what? The judgment. Many, Christ spoke of it in Matthew chapter 7. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, many will say unto me in that day. That day is the day of final judgment, which takes place after death. That takes place after the second coming of Christ. All will be physically dead then. But he says, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? He said, I'll say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. So physical death does not justify a person. To be justified means to be not guilty. It means to be not charged with sin. I've dealt with this last week. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, Psalm 32:2. And that means God doesn't charge him with sin. In the book of Romans, over on the chapter 8, it says here, in verse 33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. In other words, if you're justified before God, that means God doesn't charge you with your sin, even though you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I deserve death and hell right now. And if God were to charge me with my sin, that's what I would receive. That's why David in Psalm 130 in verse 3 made this statement. O Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark or charge or impute iniquities, who would stand? So there's a people that God does not charge with sin. Now, to be justified not only means to be not guilty, it means to be righteous in God's sight based upon the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when he was expounding upon David's words in Psalm 32:2, in Romans 4:6, he said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That is, without our works. It's not without a work. It's by Christ's work as the surety and substitute of his people, but it's without our works. So when we read this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. What kind of freedom is he talking about? Well, he's talking about justification. Man by nature in a condemned state must be justified. He must be set free by the pronouncement of the judge of all who says, in reality, this person is not guilty. This person is righteous. Now, here's the question of questions. And this is what you need to imprint upon your mind and think about and ponder and seek, because it's the issue of the whole of Scripture. And that's this. How in the world can a holy, righteous, truthful, just God look at a sinner like me and in reality and justly and rightly pronounce me not guilty? Actually pronounce me righteous. How can he do that and still be just? And he must be. He must be a just God as well as a Savior. He must be a righteous judge as well as a loving Father who saves. He must be a true God, true to his holiness, true to his truth in himself, as well as a merciful God and a gracious God. You see, God is grace and love and mercy, but he cannot express his grace, his love, or his mercy without expressing consistently with that his justice. Now, how can that happen? Well, look back at Romans 6. Here's the liberty of God's grace. Verse 3. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now he's beginning to answer that question. He's talking about being baptized into Jesus Christ. Now I know that most people today, when they hear the word baptized, they think about the Christian ordinance of believers' baptism. And that is an important subject. Believers are to confess Christ in believers' baptism. That's the New Testament way. That's the command. There are two New Testament ordinances, one of confession and one of remembrance. Baptism, water baptism, is a confession, is an ordinance of confession. That's why we go down into the water. It's not for infants. It's not for unbelievers. It's not a rite of passage. I see these churches today trying to drag children down the aisle and get them into the baptistry. And I think it's sad. It's just another form of infant baptism. Baptism is for believers and believers only. And then the second ordinance is the Lord's Supper, which is a memorial ordinance, remembering the Lord's death. So those things are important. But that is not what Paul is talking about here in Romans 6 when he talks about being baptized into Jesus Christ, being baptized into his death. Now, when we're baptized in water, confessing Christ, we identify in his death, burial, and his resurrection. But what he's talking about here is the believer's union with Christ as Christ stood in his place as surety and substitute. So look at verse 4. It proves it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we might also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, the planted together there means this, that Christ died on that cross to pay the sin debt for his people, God's elect, his sheep, as their sins had been imputed to him, charged to him. He was made guilty. He was made sin. And he died on that cross for all of them at once together. He did the work for his people. He was 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him to be sin. Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. They were planted with him together. When he died, I died. Not in my own person, but in the person of my substitute, my representative, my surety, my redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. Now, how do I know if he died for me? He says that in verse 4, he says that we should also walk in newness of life. Am I walking in newness of life? That means, am I a sinner saved by grace? Am I a believer trusting Christ for all salvation? That's how I know he died for me. If you go through this life never coming to a saving knowledge of Christ, never believing in him and die in unbelief, he didn't die for you. Because all of his people were planted together in the likeness of his death. And verse 5, they shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. They're going to be raised from the dead unto life. But look at verse 6. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man there is that old connection with Adam in condemnation. That's been totally eradicated, totally removed, totally dead, crucified. Not in the process of dying, as some say, but it's dead. That's past tense. That means we're justified if you're in Christ. And that's what he says. For he that is dead is freed, is justified from sin. They've been set free. That's the liberty of God's grace. Justified. By God's grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and based upon his shed blood and his righteousness imputed. That's liberty. God does not charge them with their sin, and he can do that and remain true to himself because Christ paid the debt. Christ satisfied justice. Christ did the work. God is both a just God and a Savior, a righteous judge, and a loving Father based upon the death of Christ, the blood of Christ. And that's proven by the fact that he didn't stay dead. He was buried and raised again the third day because of the justification of his people. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, that's what the Bible means when it talks about our sins purged, our sins washed away. That means Christ paid the debt. They're not charged to God's people. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. You heard the term propitiation? Propitiation? That's what that means. That means a justice-satisfying sacrifice who paid the debt in full, satisfied God's justice in full, so that he can be just when he looks at a sinner like me and says, not guilty, and says, righteous. I am righteous, not in myself, but in Christ, based on his righteousness imputed. Now, I'm free from the bondage of the law. I'm set at liberty in Christ. I don't owe a debt. You ever been in debt? When the debt's paid, while you're in debt, you're under the bondage of debt. When the debt's paid, you're free. Well, my debt's paid. And I didn't pay it. In fact, I didn't even contribute one penny to it. Christ paid it all. And I'm free. Now, that's justification. But now let me talk to you about the liberty of sanctification. Now look over at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants or the slaves of sin. Now that's an unbeliever. But you have obeyed from the heart. The heart is the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience, the inner man. And of course, that's the new heart. See, the natural heart won't do this. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's the gospel. And he says in verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, the word free there means liberated. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the liberty of sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? To be sanctified. And sometimes the word holy holiness and sanctification are interchangeable. It means to be set apart within ourselves. And what is he talking about? He's talking about being set apart by the gospel. That's the liberty of sanctification. He's not talking about moral purity. He's not talking about what we wear or don't wear or what we watch or don't watch or anything like that. He's talking about being sanctified by the Holy Spirit in the new birth through the gospel. And that's what he means. Look at verse 17 again. He says, you were the servants of sin. You were slaves. You were in bondage. But now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What is that doctrine? It's the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of grace, salvation by the grace of God. It's the doctrine of the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He said, to the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God's elect have been set free legally in Christ. At some point in time, they're going to be brought under by the providence of God and the power of God. They're going to be brought under the preaching of the gospel. And they're going to be liberated in their hearts, liberated in their minds. They're going to find out that God chose them before the foundation of the world. Even though they're ruined by the fall and deserve nothing but death and hell, God chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. They're going to find out that Christ came to die for their sins on the cross and redeem them by his precious blood. And they're going to find that out when they're born again by the Spirit. They're given eyes to see, ears to hear. They'll be liberated within themselves. They'll be set apart by the gospel. And look at this. Look at verse 17 again. But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, if you have a concordance again, look at it. It probably says something like this, and literally this is the way it should read, whereto you were delivered. Now, the gospel is delivered to God's people when they hear it and are given eyes to see, ears to hear. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. When the preaching of the gospel comes, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so it's delivered that way. But what this verse is saying is that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered to. In other words, God delivered you. If you're under the priest, here's what I'm saying. If you're one of God's chosen people, one who Christ redeemed on the cross, died for on the cross, at some point in time, under the sovereign power and majesty of God through the Holy Spirit, you're going to providentially be delivered, be placed under the preaching of the true gospel. You're not going to remain under a false gospel. You're not going to remain outside the gospel. You're going to be delivered to the true gospel. And when God the Holy Spirit in the new birth sanctifies you, sets you apart by giving you a new heart, a new mind, new affections, new will, a cleansed conscience, being then, verse 18, made free, liberated from sin. That's not, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, to be liberated from sin doesn't mean we stop sinning. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Believers throughout the New Testament are commanded and encouraged to fight sin within themselves. So to be liberated from sin here does not mean that we stop sinning. Listen, I'm a believer. I have to fight sin every day of my life. It's a warfare of the flesh and the spirit. To be liberated from sin means that I'm liberated from the bondage that kept me in the darkness of legalism and sin, trying to establish a righteousness of my own. I'm liberated from that. I have found righteousness in Christ. And so to be a servant of righteousness is to be a servant of Christ. It's not just talking about now you were immoral and now you're moral, because that's not righteousness. You see? Now, if a person is immoral and God saves them, then they become moral in the eyes of men, of course. That's part of it. But it doesn't save you. It doesn't make you righteous. Your morality is not your righteousness. Your works are not your righteousness. Your prayers are not your righteousness. Your love for God and love for God's people is not your righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. And you're a servant of Christ, who is the Lord, my righteousness. And that's what it is to be a servant of righteousness. That's the liberty of sanctification. Paul spoke of that in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 when he was showing the separation or the distinction between the people of God and the people of the world. And he says, we're bound to give thanks, brethren, beloved of God, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. He called you by our gospel. You see, those whom God has liberated legally by pronouncing them not guilty and righteous because of the blood and righteousness of Christ, at some point in time, they're going to be brought under the preaching of the gospel, and God's going to inform them, reveal to them that great transaction that Christ accomplished on the cross, and they're going to trust Him for all righteousness. They're going to be liberated in sanctification. They're going to be set apart from the world by the grace of God. That's liberation. That's the liberty of God's grace. So we're free from the bondage of the law. Those who are in Christ, who died with Him, who were buried with Him, who arose with Him, those who stand before God not guilty, not being charged with their sins, justified, righteous in God's sight based upon the imputed righteousness of Christ. Those who have been set apart in the preaching of the gospel, born again by the Spirit, and brought to faith in Christ and repentance of their dead works, they're not in bondage to the law. Their consciences are clear by the blood of Christ. That's what washes me clean. Free from the bondage of deception. You know, Satan's deception is a bondage. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. Blinded. I mentioned this last week. If you ever been in a dark place, a dark room that's just pitch black, well, you're bound. You don't have freedom to move about the room without hindrance and without harm. But when somebody turns the light on, then you can see where to go and where not to go. You've got freedom now to move. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people under the preaching of the gospel. He frees them. He liberates them from the deception and the darkness of sin, of self-righteousness and religious pride. And he shows them that they have no righteousness in themselves. But righteousness can only be found in the person, the glorious person of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and based upon his finished, successful, powerful work of redemption on the cross as he died for their sins, was buried, and arose the third day. You know, the Bible says that sin demands death. That's bondage. And when people seek to do things in order to attain or maintain or earn salvation, that keeps them in that bondage of death. But when we see that Christ has conquered sin, Christ has conquered the grave, conquered death, then we're liberated to live in and by him. And that's the liberty of grace. It's not a liberty to go on sinning. We're to fight sin. But it's a liberty to obey Christ and follow him and rest in him and in the assurance of salvation that comes by him as the Lord our righteousness. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.